Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Historian Jeffrey Ward and longtime collaborator Ken Burns are on a roll. Their seven-part documentary series, The Roosevelts, An Intimate History, was a ratings hit this fall on PBS, and their book of the same name is a New York Times bestseller. In the book, Ward explores the fascinating personalities of the Oyster Bay and Hyde Park Roosevelts, who dominated much of the political landscape for the first part of the 20th century in America. Jeffrey Ward is an historian and screenwriter and the author of 16 books, including A First Class Temperament, The Emergence of Franklin Roosevelt. That book won the National Book Critics Circle Award and was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize. Ward has also written or co-written many documentary films, including The War, The Civil War, Baseball, The West, Mark Twain, and Jazz. Jeffrey Ward will be speaking about and signing his new book tonight at 7 p.m. at the FDR Presidential Library and Home in Hyde Park. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Jeffrey Ward back to the roundtable. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Very nice to have you here. This project is fascinating. I remember I was, I think I interviewed you at the reopening of Hyde Park and the
sure.
And the museum last year. And you were talking about this project and ultimately how it was something that you are very much an historian interested in Roosevelt. You've done a great deal of work. So it seemed as if it was only a matter of time before you collaborated with Ken Burns in working on a project on the Roosevelts.
Well, that's true. It's been a labor of love. I've been working with Ken for about 32 years, I think it is, starting with Huey Long and the Civil War. And about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, I guess, we were talking about this. We'd always wanted to do something about the Roosevelts, and it was my notion that we should do all three of them because it is a family saga, and it's very rarely presented that way.
And when you say all three of them, of course, we're talking about Eleanor, Franklin, and Theodore.
Theodore, right.
So why those three? Obviously the most prominent, but to have those stories told and overlapping and show what this family meant in its dynamics.
It is really a family story. I think people, because Theodore was a Republican and Franklin and Eleanor were Democrats, I think people think of them sort of in different categories. But in fact, they shared more things than separated them. I think all three of them are sort of studies in leadership. I guess the thing I most want to get out of this book is to give kids some sense of what it's like to have real leadership. And that's what the book is really about, I think.
What can you say about the leadership that these three had that was in common? Because there are certainly many differences as well.
I think they all had a sort of serene self-confidence in their ability to improve the lives of ordinary people. They are, they're patricians, all three of them, but they saw themselves, instead of just enjoying their money, they saw it really as their duty to do what they could for other people. And they had all three of them, and especially the two presidents, had an extraordinary ability to make people believe that they could, that life could be improved and that government had an enormous potential for good. And that this country's, the arc of this country's existence was steadily upwards.
They all
believed it.
One of the points that you make in the book and in the series, which I find fascinating, is how all three of them talked directly to the American people. They knew how to use the press like nobody before them knew how to use it.
That's right. They didn't, as I think most politicians see the press as, a group of spies. And I think all three Roosevelts realized that you could use the press to spread your message. Theodore Roosevelt was really the first to give them, to give the White House press corps a room of its own. And Franklin Roosevelt had 998 press conferences during his presidency.
Looking at Theodore Roosevelt, and I guess this is what I found to be so fascinating about your book and about the series, because I learned so much about this man. And one of the things that I knew, but you really capture this of how many facets there were to his life, of how many cycles, of how many reinventions there were, which is really an incredible way of looking at him and how he was able to fashion himself ultimately to the president of the United States.
Well, that's right. He really was a self-invented person. And, you know, we've never had a president who was both a great president and a great ornithologist and wrote 35 books and wrote 150,000 personal letters and read a book a day and collected specimens for museums all over the world. I mean, you can go on and on and on and on and on. He just was, you can't count the facets of his personality.
When you put a project together like this, mm-hmm. there is so much, I assume, that you have to leave out, and you want to paint the picture of the three and these overlapping lives and how, as you say at the beginning, it was a family story. How did the Theodore story impact, well, especially Franklin Roosevelt, but also his niece, Eleanor Roosevelt?
Well, that's exactly right. I would argue that neither Franklin nor Eleanor Roosevelt, we probably wouldn't know their names if Theodore Roosevelt hadn't been president. FDR modeled himself after T.R., and Eleanor Roosevelt greatly admired her uncle. She was his favorite niece, and she really sort of revered him all her life. And I think all of them saw themselves as Roosevelts, and that was a very special thing to be.
It also, I mean, money plays a part of the story, doesn't it?
Sure. They were all of them comfortable, and none of them cared very much about money. I mean, they had always been comfortable. Theodore Roosevelt had a little financial trouble because sometimes had to write things just to sort of keep his wonderful house at Sagamore Hill going. But they didn't make, I think because they had money, they didn't think it was anything very important. And they saw that just the mere making of money as a not a very challenging, not a very interesting thing.
What impact did Theodore, as you say, there wouldn't be a Franklin Roosevelt without Theodore. What political impact do you think he had on fashioning the way Franklin Roosevelt led and felt about leadership?
Well, I think he said the presidency is preeminently a place of moral leadership, that it was a place where sort of standards should be set. And I think that had a great effect on Franklin Roosevelt. And then Theodore Roosevelt believed that the Constitution was not a limiting document, that it enabled you to do certain things, and that those things were for the benefit of all the people. And certainly Franklin Roosevelt believed that. And I think Eleanor Roosevelt got from Theodore and from Theodore's father a very strong sense that one owed a privileged person owed a duty to those less privileged to help them, not in any patronizing way, but because they were human beings suffering.
Given that all three had great tragedy in their lives, they were all very optimistic, weren't they?
Yes, I think that's absolutely true. I think all three Roosevelts thought things, you know, problems were to be solved and that Americans could solve them. And I guess what I hope most from the book, I hate the term companion volume only because the book is full of stuff that isn't in the film.
Right.
but what I hope is that, you know, kids who see it will have a sense, especially girls, will see how much people can do if they put their minds to it and they know where they're going. And Eleanor Roosevelt is a wonderful example of that.
One of the things that is fascinating is the legacy, and it's something that I would think in looking at a history almost is the elephant in the room, isn't it? Of how the legacy of this family, of these three individuals, impacted one another and impacted all of us.
You bet. I think, no, you're very smart. That's exactly right. Every president since Franklin Roosevelt has been measured against Franklin Roosevelt. I don't care whether you're Ronald Reagan, and Franklin Roosevelt was Ronald Reagan's favorite president, believe it or not. On both sides of the aisle, everybody measures their first 100 days to see how they match up. They always fall short. Roosevelt really sort of set the standard for what you expect from a president.
And yet there were issues, and there were certainly very big questions. So has the political tide turned? Do we expect more from our politicians now, or what has changed to make us less forgiving of the fallacies of human nature?
Goodness. I do think we're in a very quarrelsome time. That seems clear. And I think we tend to romanticize the past and think that it was not, things were simpler then. They were not simpler then. The Roosevelts, Franklin and Eleanor, certainly were vilified during their lifetime by large numbers of people. But they didn't let it get to them. I don't know how else to say that. They grew very thick skins and continued on their path, and eventually they won. So I think that if there's a lesson in leadership, I think maybe that's it.
The book is subtitled An Intimate History, and I'm curious as to the choice of that word intimate and what you hope it implies.
Sure. We didn't want it to be a tabloid thing. There's nothing tabloid about either the series or the book. We wanted to present them as three extraordinary human beings in an extraordinary family, rather than a great statesman seen from afar. So, you have a great sense, I hope, of all the personal struggles that they went through. Theodore Roosevelt's dealing with overcoming childhood asthma and lifelong depression, and Eleanor Roosevelt also suffering from depression and from a ghastly childhood, which she is a wonder. And from Franklin Roosevelt, who never took a step unaided after the age of 39. I do think that this book and the film will give you a better sense of the struggle he underwent better than probably anything else has done. I mean, once you understand how challenged he was, you are all the more impressed by how much he did.
You have spent so much time on the subject of the Roosevelts. I'm curious as to, do you still have questions? Are there still things nagging you?
Well, the great thing about, I've spent 30 years writing about them. Franklin Roosevelt will never be solved. One of the great elements of his leadership is no one ever entirely understood everything he was thinking. He kept endless secrets, and we haven't got all of them, and we never will. But that is what's, to me, that's the most fascinating thing about him, is trying to chip away and see what you can, how far you can get behind that incredible winning smile and see what's going on in there. Somebody said once he had a thickly forested interior, and I think that's about right.
Jeffrey Ward, along with collaborator Ken Burns, is the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Roosevelts, An Intimate History. Jeffrey Ward, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much, and good to have you back in Hyde Park.
Thanks for having me back.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Jeffrey Ward will be speaking about and signing his new book, The Roosevelts, An Intimate History, tonight at 7 p.m. at the FDR Presidential Library and Home in Hyde Park. You can go to fdrlibrary.marist.edu for more information. fdrlibrary.marist.edu. Again, the new book is The Roosevelts, An Intimate History, by Jeffrey Ward, published by Knopf. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.